I also greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord. It is always a privilege, it's grace, that we can come together in peace and rest, coming together undisturbed. This will not always remain this way. It will become different. It can become different very soon. Also today we would like to greet all of you all over the world, especially our friends in Chile, and I hope that all understand it well. There are really moments in the ministry of a man who is preaching the gospel, which are just special days, which have a special meaning for him. And this was in Chile like this. And we just imagine that after two sermons, 125 brothers and sisters were ready to be baptized. Then this is a day which the Lord has made. Then this was that moment which the Lord has appointed for them. And I think here also on a couple which wanted to be 100% sure that a baptism takes place. From Chile to Lima, Peru, they traveled by bus 62 hours on the streets which they have there, changing buses all the time to be sure, because they knew that I would be in Lima. They wanted to be sure that they can be baptized. This then are special experiences, and then also the tears are running down when one sees how the word of the Lord touches his own, and who take it then seriously and who obey it also. Then I don't want to forget to give you all the greetings, especially from Brother Wallström, from Finland, from Denmark, and from all the brethren worldwide, from Asia, from the Far East, from Africa, from all over Europe. Also Brother Etienne phoned in this morning, and our brothers are going again for a mission trip, I think to Haiti. We are just so grateful that the word is being carried. When I also think about from Slovakia, from the Czech Republic, from everywhere the people are coming to hear God's word. What kind of responsibility are we having at this place? Being aware that what is being preached here, that it goes into all the world. And we are aware of that. That what is being preached here, that it must stand the test there before the throne of God. There may not be one point which does not line up with God and His Word. Everything must line up 100%. This is not the doing of a man. This, the Spirit of God must work. The same Spirit who gave the word, who inspired the prophets, the same Spirit who was upon the apostles, is also resting on us. And this already brings us back to Isaiah 61 and to Luke chapter 4. Also our Lord, at that time, he opened up the scroll in Isaiah, and he was reading, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And so the Spirit of the Lord must be upon all who are opening up this book. Those who are reading here must be able to say, just as the Master, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." May the Spirit of God rest also upon all the meeting, upon all, so that the holy anointing comes upon each one, that we indeed understand the seven church messages by revelation. It is not written, "And he who has an ear, let him hear what the messenger says," but seven times in chapter 2 and chapter 3 it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches." It just has to be the Spirit who speaks to us through His Word. Should my special friends Hans Martin and Sister Brigitte be here with a visit from Quebec, should they be in our midst, then I just welcome them in a special way. And then also our visit from Canada, we welcome them. We're just joined with one another in the Lord. And I just hope that no one feels to be left out. Be all welcome. And may the word of the Lord reach the ends of the earth. We don't believe in chances. We believe that the Lord God leads His own marvelously. We also believe that we now arrived in the end time and that things are happening which did not happen before, and that God's word is now revealed in such a clarity as never before. And this is because we need now this clarity, because now the fulfillment of Bible prophecy is taking place, and where we cannot depend on interpretations, but we have the word of prophecy, which shines like a bright shining light in a dark place. Maybe just briefly, a very good news. In front of me, I have the Bible in the Indonesian language, and on the first pages, we made copies here. Partly it's chapter 1, 2, and a little bit of chapter 3. You will not see it from there. But 40 times it's written on these pages, which you can see here, in the Bible, it's written the word Allah. 40 times, alone here. And a couple of thousand times in this Bible. And since our brother has read our tract, a man who knows languages, a man who lives in the largest Muslim country of the earth, he belongs to the Bible Society, so he has responsibility when under American leadership a Bible is being printed in the Indonesian language. And since he has read this tract, he was searching and searching, and he found out that we have written the truth. And at the Bible Society, he presented it that the Bible should be printed anew without the word Allah in it. And in the year 2005, the new Bible is going to be published. And all the believers, in fact, all the Christianity there, they will then have a correct Bible. We're just so grateful to God that He has ways and means to give also clarity in such things. And for all who think that we just say some things here, I have enough literature about the Muslim religion and about that what went on at that time. And because we received this information, and why did we receive this information? Because there was a 9/11, 2001. We all could say here, oh, what a catastrophe, about 3,000 people are no more from 60 nations. The towers fell, the catastrophe was here. But God uses also catastrophes to make something good out of it. The enemy destroys, God builds up. And so we made use of the opportunity to search of what is it actually all about. And behold, the result was good and is bearing already fruits. Also for this, we are very grateful to God with all our hearts. We are not here to criticize a religion, leave alone to vilify it, but we are here to say that God did not reveal himself in any religion, but only in Jesus Christ our Lord. And only he who has the Son of God has eternal life. All the others have a religion, but not eternal life. And we all know that no man can live eternally except he has eternal life. And so we are very grateful to God in every way. Also, when I just mention a few things about Israel in a few sentences in connection with our Israel trip, God willing, in the coming year, if the Lord still tarries, from the 2nd to the 13th of May. And we are especially inviting all the youth and all who can plan their time. Just come with once. But in connection with this, it must also be said that the Jews, who according to the flesh were Israel, missed the day of God's visitation. The Lord came to his own, and his own received him not. And with the same right, as we say, that God did not establish any religion, and that he cannot be found in any religion, so we must also say, without keeping us back here, we must say, also in the Christian and Jewish religion, God is not in it. Whoever has just a religion has not God. And I write it in my new circular letter. On the 11th of September this year, especially the mass media in the USA was referring to that America, the USA, is a country which is deeply united with God by religion. If it only would have been said deeply united with God, then I perhaps would have read over it. But it said, deeply united with God by religion. And then I just have to say, a uniting with God by religion does not exist at all. Every religion separates from God. A uniting with God is only there where God has united himself with us, and God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And in this connection, I was thinking about the two Talmuds. What good is the Jerusalem Talmud for a Jew? What good is the Babylonian Talmud for a Jew? By this, one is distracted from what God has said and is being led into the interpretations of the rabbis. And now, the exact contrary happens. Now we are taken out from all interpretations and are being laid back into the word of the Lord. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. Just one more remark in this connection, so that you get also the connection here of what happened in the year 627, when in Yathrib all the Jewish people there were murdered by the Muslims. And do you know why? because the Jews were so much emphasizing that before the coming of the Messiah, that the prophet Elijah would first come. This they emphasized over and over again. And Muhammad, who could not write or read, and whose three sons died shortly after they were born, and he suspected the Jews to be responsible for their death. But the main point was that he suddenly presented himself to be that prophet. The Jews were waiting for the prophet who would come before the great day of the Lord would come. And suddenly he had the idea and he said, "Listen, I am that prophet." And then they, of course, rejected it. And then came the revenge in the year 627. That all the Jewish people there, men, women, and children, they were murdered. What makes me think here is, remember, Matthew 17, the disciples are asking their master, after they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Elijah and Moses were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And now the question, why do they say that Elijah must first come? And our Lord answered wisely, Elijah will come. And then Elijah came already, so that they understand that what they are waiting for is fulfilled, and that what comes then at the end of the time of grace will and can find fulfillment then. Both is in it. Truly, Elijah comes first and restore all things. And then he had to say them, but I say unto you, Elijah is already come, and you did with him whatever you wished. And then they recognized that he spoke about John the Baptist. But the Jews in general did not recognize it. Only those who had the revelation from God that this man is the preparer of the way, of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, that he shall prepare thy way before me." And therefore the emphasis that first a promise must be here, and then the fulfillment. Woe unto him who does not recognize the promise. He is in danger to also not see the fulfillment. One must first recognize the promise and see it also, before one sees the promise merging into fulfillment. This amen comes very slow. But it is very important. What good is it today when many speak about? Yesterday after the meeting, we had a conversation with a beloved brother who was much in the USA. We spoke about it. What good is it when somebody says there was a man sent from God with an extraordinary ministry? One can write books about it. One can write articles about it. Whoever does not have the inner agreement by revelation that God fulfilled a promise, if we don't want that to be true, then our ear is not opened for the message. Only then, when we really recognized by the scripture that God himself said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." And then it is up to God whom he takes for a ministry. No prophet was knocking at God saying, "Can you use me? I would like to be sent by you." No. All did not want to go, but they had to go because they were called. Because with a calling, a sending, and with a sending, a promise is connected. And therefore, we are children of promise who believe the word of promise and who receive the spirit of promise who leads us into all truth. And then it becomes effective. He received the anointing, and the anointing will teach you all things. The same anointing which was upon the prophets, upon our Lord, and upon the apostles must just be also on us to see the same word as they saw it, by revelation, to understand it by revelation, just as they understood it. Please, believe it. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We did not anything to the word of God, and we also do not permit that in our presence something is being added to the word. The word of the Lord shall be found in our midst in all purity, clarity, and truth until the bride church reaches her perfection and comes from believing unto seeing. So, when we on one side accept and receive the ministry of Brother Branham 100%, in the same way, on the other side, we do reject all the teachings which were introduced and spread after his going home, except the teaching was already written down in this book. Therein we are being misunderstood, but this is our stand before God in the Word. And we want that the whole world respects our stand before God. I say it again, I would not have a ministry today if there would not have been the ministry of Brother Branham. I would not be here today, and you probably also not, if God would not have planned the things beforehand, predicted them beforehand. And then when the time came and when it was fulfilled, then he drew our attention to it so that we could catch up and so that we can have part in the workings of God as it is taking place in the continuation. And I said it yesterday evening. Whoever speaks just about the special ministry, one can speak about the pillar of fire and how grateful am I to God. I myself watched it. The light I didn't see, but the result, I time and again saw it. When Brother Branham said, "Now the light is upon you," or "The light is there or there," the same pillar of fire and cloud was in all the time with Moses and Israel. The same pillar of fire and pillar of cloud was in all the time with Brother Branham. He was a man sent from God, a promised prophet. But after the going home of Moses, a new period started. There, an erection of a memorial of a great prophet did not help. A prophet with whom God spoke face to face. But then the word revealed by God, it was put into the Ark of the Covenant, and only then came the actual fulfillment of the promise. The land on which you set your foot, I have given it to you and to your descendants forever. And only then came the crossing of the river Jordan. I certainly cannot moan about that the pillar of fire is not here anymore. I of course cannot moan about that God has taken the prophet too early. Oh, how I was weeping. 2 hours I was weeping, quarreling with God, asking him, how could this happen? How could it happen that you have taken your servant home? But on the same day of the burial, in the evening, in my room, not a loud voice, but it spoke in my heart, now your time has come to give out the stored in food. At that time, I had a very good job. The first what I did, I handed in my resignation. After I came back to Germany, I resigned because I knew that now the divine message must be carried into all the world. God really planned everything, all the details beforehand, without even asking me. And brothers and sisters, believe me, also ye are in the plan of God. Ye are not here just by chance. You don't believe because you wanted to believe. You believe because you were predestinated before the foundation of the world to believe, as the scripture says, and not only to look back, but to walk forward. And so we thank the Lord for all his words, for everything, for all the connections. And just to say this also here, before we read some scriptures, we just have arrived at the end time. And therefore God reveals his word, also the word of prophecy, which before could of course only be interpreted. For without revelation, man can do nothing but to interpret. But in the moment of revelation, all interpretations are unnecessary. And also, this one can bring in here as a comparison. Just as God does not unite with mankind by religion, and as people are being separated from God by religions, being held like in prisons. So let me say here today, also interpretations are separating from God because they don't come from God. Only the word which was in the beginning, which comes from God, this alone unites us with God. And here one could invite all the brothers who refer to the end-time message. One could invite them here, and you would be astonished what kind of teachings are going around. Just because Brother Branham somewhere made a statement, and this statement was misunderstood because the statement, which is on page 72 in the English book, was not compared with the statement on page 74 in the same book. As it is with the Bible, so we must do it with the preachings of Brother Branham. One cannot build upon one statement, as one can also not just say in Matthew 28, verse 19, it's written and written and written. And it's written like it is written, but without revelation, one just insists on the letter. One can insist 1,000 years on the letter. Without revelation, one is just repeating what is being said, without carrying it out according to the command which was given. The same, one can pick out quotes. And when I think here about Brother Branham's 30 quotes which he made before the opening of the seven seals on the 30th of December 1962, quotes which spoke about what he was expecting, what it all could mean. I can do nothing with what could it mean. I need a promise. I need something which I can handle of the word of life. This I must handle. And what the brothers don't differentiate is Brother Branham had on the 22nd of December, of course, this great vision of the appearing of the supernatural cloud together with these seven thunderclaps. And with these seven thunderclaps came the supernatural cloud, came down. But this was not the fulfillment of Revelation 10, because even Revelation 5 was still in the future. The book was closed on the 28th of February 1963 and was only then opened. And in Revelation 10, the Lord slips down long after that, namely with the open book in his hand. Brothers and sisters, one must read the Holy Scripture correctly, and one must leave one's own thoughts at home, and one must use them there where they are needed, but not while reading the Holy Scripture. And then it comes even so far that the brethren permit themselves the right to put the Bible aside. Then it becomes very serious in me and around me. And then I think indeed on the two scriptures which we must keep in mind. All the peoples all over the world must keep it in mind, who have a good will and who wish to agree with God. They all shall read Matthew 21 about the entering of our Lord into Jerusalem when Zechariah 9 verse 9 was being fulfilled. They were shouting Hosanna and took branches of the trees and spread them on the roads. And do you know what happened after it? First it says, behold, your king comes to you. The Lord did not sit on the throne as king. He first went into the temple and started to clean up there, was beating up the money changers, overturned their tables, was making order in his own house. If we believe that God revealed himself in our time, then the order, the restoration of the divine order in the church must go with it. One cannot just say, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is not enough. It is not enough to say Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. One must have part in it to be himself a part in the fulfillment and to be partakers of the blessing which God has prepared for us. So, we thank God for the sending of all the servants and prophets. We thank God especially for the ministry of Brother Branham. And if we just can make here also the remark, according to my knowledge of the Bible, no prophet had this tremendous ministry which Brother Branham had. Paul didn't have it. And Peter also not. And John the Baptist also not. In this ministry was repeating what our Lord has done when he was walking on this earth. This was the sign of the Messiah. In the same way, in the ministry of Brother Branham, the same was repeating. The supernatural working of God happened on the spot. All of the great evangelists, they can comfort the people and sending them home after praying, saying, just believe, all things will be well, your healing will take place. But it is a complete different thing when a man of God stands before 8,000 or 12,000 or 16,000 or before 300,000 people, like in Bombay, and in Durban, South Africa, and then reading the word from John 14, verse 12, the works which I did, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. And when the same man says, as Hebrews 13 verse 8 is true, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever, so this word is also true. I believe it. And God fulfilled it. God fulfilled his word. It was not the great ministry of a prophet. It was the Lord himself who by the Holy Spirit gave revelations, who vindicated his word, and by this a divine legitimation took place. And where the Lord himself comes down in the cloud or pillar of fire and gives the supernatural vindication, there we don't need any scribe and Pharisee who perhaps can tell us then whether the man was sent from God or not. We cannot go to unbelievers to get an answer from them about the ministry which God gave. We must come to God and have the answer from God, and then it is always correct. Now, coming to the observation of some precious scriptures, we have heard it already in the word of introduction from Hebrews chapter 12, that we have a great cloud of witnesses, true witnesses, as written in the prophet Isaiah 43, ye are my witnesses. As our Lord said in the book of Acts chapter 1, ye are my witnesses. But in connection with this, it's written, wait in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high. Brothers and sisters, a true witness ministry can only be there where the whole church is being filled with the power from on high. The penetrating power is not in the volume of the preacher, but in the anointing which accompanies the revealed word, to let it become a revelation to each individual. And then we have straight in Hebrews chapter 11, the testimony of all the heroes of faith. You of course can read it from verse 32. There all the heroes of faith are listed, and then comes chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, men who were witnesses of what God has done in their time on earth, on them and on others. And we are thankful that also we may be witnesses. Witnesses of that, what God has done in our time. Then we come in Hebrews chapter 11 to verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Oh, how I would wish that God would let me succeed to show you the important connection between the promise, and first to dwell in it, to be found first in it, and then to walk toward its fulfillment. First, we are carriers of the promise, and at the moment of the fulfillment, the promise carries us, which we carried, into the fulfillment. This is the plan of salvation of our God. Praise be unto our Lord. Abraham did not only get a promise, he was settling in the land of promise to be sure that he is there where the promise belongs, that he is there where the promise will find its fulfillment, that he is there. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. The whole world may think, oh, they there in Krefeld, huh, what is with these people? They don't belong to any denomination. They don't belong to the Protestant Alliance. They don't belong to the World Council of Churches. They belong nowhere. This is just a separated group which doesn't want to have anything to do with all the others. Did we choose this? Was it not the same with Israel? Thus saith the Lord in Deuteronomy, not because you are a great people, but because you are the tiniest of all the nations, but because I have loved you, therefore I have chosen you. Chosen because of love. And then came the condition to not mix with the Gentiles. And he who likes to know it precisely can read it in Joshua. Abraham lived on the other side of the river Euphrates and was serving other gods together with his father Terah. But when God has taken him out of all the idolatry, and when he revealed himself as the only living God, then it was finished with him. He never looked back. He never went back. But he believed what God had promised him. He didn't know the way, but God knew the way. God knew the way. God knew the destination. And he was led by the Spirit of God. The same, it is of course with all of us. We all were on the other side, drowned in the Trinity doctrine, Trinity baptism, and in all kinds of errors which one hardly can imagine. But then it pleased God to give a message of calling out and separation by grace. Ye, my people, come out and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then we come already to the prophet Malachi chapter 3. Ye shall be my jewels on the day when I shall do it. This is the promise. God separates. The word ecclesia means the called out ones, and is actually written in the Old Testament. For the first time, it's written in Exodus chapter 12. A called out, a separated group of people made up the church of the Lord, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Actually, the description says, by a proclamation being called out. First the proclamation, the announcement, then the coming out, the calling out, and then the gathering of the called out ones to hear the word of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, precious friends, now it's the same with us. We were called out from all errors and strange doctrines to not bring in again new errors and new strange doctrines. We must beware, and we must remain in the word of truth until the end. For this, there are two scriptures for it. In the Epistle of John, about the anointing and about the word in which we should abide, in which we must abide. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And the word of God abideth in you without interruption. So, not an opening of an interpretation, but if ye abide in my word, and my words abide in you. Do you know that many have a wrong perception of the love of God? They think of the love of God that one should believe everything what somebody says. This is not my perception and not my conviction. My conviction is that the love of God is the love for the truth. For the truth, and the word of God is the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. If I'm too loud, then please tell me. But it just moves me. My heart is full. We have responsibility for the people of God in this time. And we cannot tolerate anything. But brother so-and-so, I will never open my mouth to mention the name of a brother. Never. I didn't need this to do this in all my 42 years ministry. But I will open my mouth to preach the true word of God. May it hit whoever it hits, regardless of who he might be. The people can then find out for themselves to whom it could apply. For instance, the main teaching among those who despise the word is that the Lord has come already. This one has to imagine with a sound mind. And then they say, the prophet said that the angel of Revelation 10 comes down when the seventh messenger is on earth. And then they have rear cover, not caring at all about the word of God and about what is connected with the return of Christ. The Bible is being closed, and then one looks for some quotes which could probably fit and are building up a structure of lies. I say it here today, when the Lord comes, then we go. The translation takes place in a twinkling of an eye. And when somebody says, Christ came, namely there in Arizona, then I must say, in my Bible is written, as the thus saith the Lord, when they shall say, he is in the desert, don't believe it, and don't go there. But the scripture must be fulfilled in every way. Shaking one's head is not enough. God wants that we are thankful. Thankful that we remained humble and true. And also this is God's grace, not your and my merit. So, that the truth abides in you permanently, not just being as a guest with us in the meeting and being handed around by the preaching, but instead that it takes dwelling in us, abiding in us, that we are penetrated by the word of truth, and then is fulfilled only in those who fall into errors, that they go from error to error, because they did not have the love for the truth. Also, this is a gift of God, to love the word of God, to love it with all our hearts and to receive it. But in the same way, as it is written, that the word should abide always in us, it's also written that the anointing should be permanently on us and in us and with us. I read from the same chapter, 1 John chapter 2, from verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Yes, this is a true man of God, an apostle, a sent one. He writes, he is warning of those who try to deceive you. This word applies also for our day. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you and
dauernd in euch.
First, the word abides in you, and then the anointing abides in those who received the word. Hallelujah! More I and you don't need. If the word and the anointing abides on us and in us, then God will be with us. What we need is just a little bit of patience. a little patience until we have done the will of God. And so that the Lord can fulfill his last promises. I read verse 27 once again. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. No brother needs to come and say, God has revealed to me. Every revelation which comes from God is for the benefit of all the people of God by the same anointing from the same word. And only then we all are taught by God and are coming to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The man who almost only wrote about love, the dearest disciple of Jesus, the Apostle John, the Beloved, he writes of the Antichrist. He gives information through the Spirit of God what all would come. And at that time, it was there already. He didn't want, God didn't want that we remain in error, leave alone, come into it again, but that we are God's own possession, born again unto a living hope. And as God was in Christ and reconciled us with himself by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, so sure the divine life which was in the blood of the Lord was being manifested in us, because he lives and we shall live also. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And therefore, as mentioned in the beginning, it's of course written, he who has the Son of God has eternal life. And in 1 John chapter 5 verse 20, it says, he is the true God and eternal life. Always the connection from one word to the other one. No theory, but divine reality among his people. So, the word shall abide in us, and the anointing which we received. Brothers and sisters, we need the Spirit baptism. We need the Spirit baptism. We need the Spirit baptism. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the command of the hour. And he who likes to read it, it belonged to the first sermon which Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, namely, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, the promise is unto you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Has he called us out? Has he called us? Then we obey and follow him by doing the step of water baptism. And then we must just receive the promise in us, saying, Lord, beloved Lord, I have done my part. You have given me your word. You have spoken to me. You have called me. And also then is fulfilled. See that the Spirit of God leads you to repentance. We have no knowledge of sin and no repentance unless the Spirit of God makes us aware of sin and gives us repentance. And then we come to the Lord, receiving forgiveness and being baptized. And then the Spirit baptism is simply assured to us. It's a promise. And also in this regard, we can say to each other, we are children of promise. Namely, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now he calls the last ones. The number will be complete, and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is just in front of us. And I say once again, may God give such a desire, such a hunger in us, that we show him his word and say, dear Lord, by your prophet John, you have announced, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me is greater than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he has already the winnowing fan he has in his hand to clean up and to sort out and to establish order. Brothers and sisters, every word of God has its place. And we thank the Lord for all the scripture, because all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine. That's how it is written. Might be 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So, let us summarize of what it is about here and today. God is not united with mankind by religions. The religions separated mankind from God. There was only one personal manifestation of God for our salvation. And this happened in Jesus Christ. And he was God manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, preached in the world, received up into glory, and he will return to take his own home. In him, the only begotten Son of God, we were reconciled with God to get back our birthright, to make our election sure, knowing that as he was predestinated to die for us, so we are predestinated to rise with him and to live with him. For he says, I live, and ye shall live also. The second point, not only looking back to that, what God did, especially since 1946 up to 1965, but to see how the continuation, how God was taking care of, that the message was not buried together with the messenger, but that the message is being carried into all the world. Hear ye this, all ye peoples. God has acquainted us by his grace with the prophetic message, which includes all the teachings and corrections. We are not here in the name of a prophet or in the name of an apostle. We are here in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord to proclaim the true and clear word of God. And all who are pardoned by God, their ear is being opened to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And then we come into a balance with message and messenger, with the Old and New Testament, with the apostles and prophets. Then there is no opposition anymore. Then there are no new doctrines. Then there is a coming back to the beginning, to the origin. And only then, when all things have been restored, then God will pour out His Spirit. And this in a fullness as never before. We are still going to jump like the calves of the stall, thanking God with all our hearts. But in the meantime, let us receive correction. Please, let no man think here that he doesn't need any correction. We all are coming together here to be corrected, to be taught by God, to by this come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The Lord God, who planned all things from the beginning up to the end, may He have His way with us in this country, all over Europe, in East and West, in South and North, on all continents. May He speak to His people, and all who belong to His people, may they, as the people of Israel then, may they return to the word which went forth from Jerusalem to receive the word which came forth from Mount Zion, from the mouth of the prophets, from the mouth of the Lord, and from the mouth of the apostles. The Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who gave promises, who watches over them to fulfill them, may He give grace that we receive all the promises, that we believe them, and that we are being led into the fulfillment. He promised He will do it. Blessed be His wonderful name, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord together. Maybe we sing the chorus, Only Believe.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube.
We are bowing our heads. We remain in silent prayer. I would like to ask today whether some are here who were spoken to, who want to dedicate their lives to the Lord, who are ready to leave the broad way, entering the straight gate, to then walk on the narrow way which leads to life. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And again, it's written, all whom the Father has given me are coming to me. And again it says, I have lost no one of them whom you have given me. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, the decision of God is irrevocable. God predestinated us before the foundation of the world to be his sons and daughters according to the pleasure of his will. He is present today, and we all most surely we have reminded our Lord in our prayers of his promise, namely that the word abideth permanently in us, and that the anointing also abideth permanently in us, that there is no interruption by any interpretation. Do you agree with this? Do you agree with this? That we do not incline our ears to any interpretation anymore, but that we are now being led into an uninterrupted fellowship with God and with one another, being taught by God, his word abiding in us, and the anointing abiding in us, until all things are revealed unto us by his grace. A special word I would like to direct to all who have come from Slovakia. Maybe among them are not only our ministering brethren and believers, maybe some have come with them who did not yet surrender their lives to God. May your journey be worthwhile. Here is no place of excursion. Here is no sightseeing. But here is the word of God, which remains forever. Maybe this distinguishes us, but we really wished, if someone is not yet saved, don't go home like this, but take the Lord with you. Take him with you. Take him with you. And also all the others who are here today. If you are still unbelieving, yesterday evening we had some discussions with people who came for the first time. I don't know whether they are here this morning. God calls. God calls. And we are very grateful for it. And also today, he most surely has called. And ye, my beloved brothers and sisters from Königgrätz, please take the answer of God with you. Take it with you for all your family, for all the two sons, and for everything what is upon your heart. Basically, all of us who we are here today, we want to take it by faith that God's word is true and that the Lord is in our midst and that all things can happen. Really, all things can happen. Sinners saved, captives set free, everything can happen. sick ones healed. All things can happen. Tell me of one meeting of our Lord in which nothing has taken place. The lepers were cleansed. The blind received their sight. The lame could walk. And to the poor, the gospel was being preached. And that's how it is happening even today. Let us sing once again. Sing just as I am, and then we'll pray. Before we pray, I would like to ask that no one turns around, no one looks around. Whoever wants to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. Do we have some? All over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singen wir noch, oh Halleluja, es ist vollbracht. Gelobt sei der Herr. Halleluja. Oh Halleluja, es ist vollbracht. Mein Jesus hat mich frei gemacht. Ob Land, ob Meer, ob Glück, ob Leid, wo Jesus ist, ist Herrlichkeit. Oh, Halleluja, es ist vollbracht. Mein Jesus hat mich frei gemacht. Ob Land, ob Meer, ob Glück, ob Leid, wo Jesus ist, ist Herrlichkeit.
Ihr wisst ja manchmal, you all know, sometimes we are calling to the front. Today, I don't want to call, but should someone feel to come to the front in connection with the consecration, to also testify of it before God and men that you believe the Lord, that you wish to follow Him, just feel free. We are praying now, and God will bless. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, how glorious are your works, how wonderful is your word, and we thank Thee for your grace, for the Holy Spirit, for the anointing, of Thy Holy Spirit, which rests upon those who have received your word. May your word abide in us, that we do not sin against you by unbelief and not being brought out of balance. Dear Lord, hear us today and bring us into balance, into the divine harmony. May your word be in us, and may your anointing continue to teach us. To you, the Almighty God, be the thanks, the praise, and honor and glory, now and forever.
Hallelujah! Und alles Volk sage Halleluja. Alles Volk sage Amen. Amen, Amen, Amen. Der Herr ist treu. Hat sein Volk,
the Lord is faithful.
Als er aufgang,
he has visited his people from the rising from on high.
Halleluja. Halleluja. Zwei
Two sisters have come. Maybe they are still feeling, some are feeling to come, or three sisters have come. Just look here, you who have come to the front. You did not come to a man. God bless you in a special way, our sister Michaela. We remember here our last Israel trip. Our sister was accompanying her husband, and behold, the Lord was with us and has given a wonderful salvation and grace, so that also our sister was baptized in the River Jordan. I say it here in connection, I say this to all. The announcement is there at the entrance. Have a look at it and come with. If one bus is not enough, then we take two buses. If two buses are not enough, then we take three. Space is there for all. Most people don't want to go there, but Israel is still the safest place. We of course don't go to Gaza or to Jericho. We just go into the main country, Israel, and there we can take all with. Precious sisters, you believe with all your heart what was preached, because faith comes by hearing. God has given the promise, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a promise. You believed it? It's yours. It's yours. Just receive.